Hey, Buccaneers fans, just 13 days now from opening day, what we all live for, what we all battle to get to after free agency, coaching changes, and second wave of free agency, and the build-up to the draft, and rookie minicamp, and spring practices and training camp. It all leads up to this, and I am so fired up to be at this point in the season, my favorite time of year. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. I'm one of the Joes. That means one of the guys who write as Joe on the website, JoeBucksFan.com. And, of course, one of the co-founders, been covering the team for 11 years. You've heard me here on this podcast, but it's back now. Monday Morning Joe, I'm glad to be here. And Monday morning doesn't just mean, hey, the podcast only pops Monday morning at 8 a.m. and you can start screaming at me when you don't get it. It's not that simple, and it's not like that. It means it's coming on Monday, and I'm glad we're back. We're presented by Bill Curry Ford. Bill Curry Ford, you're going to hear a lot about them. 1 mile north of the stadium, right there on Dale Mabry. And Discount Garage Doors, dgdoors.com. 24-7, you can call them. 24-7, and get your garage door serviced or replaced anywhere across the Tampa Bay area. dgdoors.com, we'll talk more about them. Now, this podcast is back. Podbean, Google Play, iTunes. These are all great places to subscribe to the podcast so you get an alert when it posts. Otherwise, you can listen to it like many of you do right at JoeBucksFan.com. And all the link information is there, so you're good. Now, there are a couple things in the headline of this podcast. And I'm going to talk first, not about my prediction for the season. I'm just going to lay it out there. But I'm going to talk about some of the specifics of the Jameis suspension and the details of it, the logistics that you really haven't read anywhere else. And I'm happy to share it for you here first before it hits the website. So here's the way this goes down. On Saturday of this week, Jameis Winston will not be on the Bucs 50-man roster. Excuse me, the Bucs 53-man roster when they name it, starting at 4 o'clock. Right? That's when the Buccaneers are supposed to officially release the roster. It goes to the league and they sanction, this is your opening 53-man roster. Jameis will not be on the roster. And the minute he's not on the roster, that's when he starts serving the 3-game suspension. So Saturday afternoon, Jameis can be nowhere near One Buck Place. He can't be connected to One Buck. It starts Saturday. Now, what does that mean? Well, that means Jameis will be disconnected from the Bucs electronically. What does that mean, Steve? Well, that means he can't use his team-issued Surface or laptop and plug into the Buccaneers system and start watching film through their system. So that means if he wants to, after week one, right, the first game of the year, opening day, if he wants to dial up all of the Chicago Bears third down plays and all the cut-ups, as they call it in the building, all the cut-ups of the Bears' defensive looks on first down, all that little stuff, he can't do that. He's not supposed to do that. He's not able to do that. So he can watch film like any of us can, which is on the All 22, and study it that way, which takes a lot more time and effort, and it's a different look in some ways. But simply stated, Jameis is disconnected. So it changes his film study when he's not in the building. Now, no one's sitting there policing Jameis from the NFL. So if a player wants to go to Jameis's house and share his Surface and film study and what's going on, hey, that could happen. I highly advise Jameis not to do that. I would advise him to follow the letter of the suspension implicitly, because if it ever comes out or anything like that, that would just be a disaster for him, and he certainly would get more of a suspension, and it would ruin his credibility, and some people think that's on thin ice right now. But it could happen, sure. Could he go to Kwan's house and watch some film? Absolutely. But that's the deal. He cannot be connected electronically to the Buccaneers. He's not supposed to have contact with Bucs officials at all. Can he talk to a player or text him? Probably. The suspension ends the Tuesday after the Monday night game. Immediately. Tuesday. That's how it is in the NFL rules. So Jameis, after the Monday night football game, you know what? He can go back to One Buck at 12:01 a.m. and start watching film if he wants to. Now, of course, his teammates who just played on Monday night football are all going to be going home from the stadium, and the guys will probably show up there the next day. If they don't win, they'll probably be in there and be breaking down film or whatnot. Otherwise, they might get the day off, depending on the situation. But he can be there Tuesday at 5 a.m., his usual time. That's, if you ask anybody around $1, that's when Jameis is usually there in the 5 o'clock hour. And he can be in there studying and doing his thing. So that's the breakdown of the suspension. Now, I asked Dirk Cutter today at $1 place. I asked Dirk, I said, hey, man, Dirk, last year at this time, you were telling people, hey, Doug Martin, well, he's suspended for 3 games, and who knows what that looks like. I don't have experience with this, and when he comes back, we'll evaluate him, and we'll go from there. But I don't know what that looks like when a guy comes off his couch with no connection to the team for 3 weeks. Well, I asked Dirk, what did you learn from that last year that you can apply to Jameis, maybe in preparation advice for Jameis, or just anything that you can apply the Doug Martin scene to Jameis? And Cutter sort of said, well, I never thought of it like that. And he replied that Jameis has a great plan in place for the 3-week suspension, which really amounts to, based on what I just laid out for you, 24 days. He said he has a great plan, and he expects Jameis to come back ready to roll. And that opens up another set of questions. But that's the deal with Jameis. Now, I am going to be giving my season prediction here and give it in a couple of different ways. We got other stuff to talk about. But I wanted to mention our new sponsor, Bill Curry Ford. New general manager, Sean Sullivan. He's a true stick carrier, true Bucks fan. He invites all listeners here and their families down to Bill Curry Ford, a mile north of the stadium, to see the savings they're offering to the whole Tampa community. Go online, BillCurryFord.com, and Curry is C-U-R-R-I-E. Go there, select the car you're interested in, and the price will be clearly displayed. And you know what? Let them know that you're a stick carrier or Joe Bucks fan. That's the better word to use. You're a Joe Bucks fan, and you'll receive an additional $500 savings. It's that easy. So come enjoy the Curry experience that has proudly served the Tampa community for 58 years, Bill Curry Ford. Now, my friends at Discount Garage Doors, if you have a garage door at your house, you can replace it. It adds to the value of the home. It adds to the security of the home in hurricane season. They will make repairs for you, but it's free. It's a same-day service call that's absolutely free. They'll come out there and do a complete diagnosis absolutely free. No joke. And then you go from there. If you want to repair it, their skilled technician can do it there on site most of the time. Otherwise, they have a wonderful selection of new doors. The phone number you can call anytime, 24/7, 866-420-DOOR, 866-420-DOOR, or visit dgdoors.com. Use your Joe Bucks fan discount code for 10% off. And remember, the name says it all, Discount Garage Doors. That means the pricing is fantastic. They will be competitive against any other quotes you have. Discount Garage Doors is the way to go. Now, this season, right, the number one question I get asked by hardcore fans and casual fans and whoever they may be is the simple question that many of you get. What do I think the Bucks are going to do this year? What do I think? Hey, Joe. Hey, Steve. What do you think? Well, I'm going to tell you what I think. Now, this kind of prediction is not easy for me because, one, I'm a fan. Yet the question that I get asked and the question I'm addressing here is, what do I think will happen? Not what I want to happen. I want them to go freaking 16-0. That's what it comes down to. That's what any fan should want. I'm not rooting for any way to have this happen. I want a great season. But that's not the question. The question is, what do I think? Lee DeCamper, a Joe Bucks fan, and myself, we put a lot of time into studying the team. When we say we cover it 24/7, it's not just a job. It's a lifestyle. I don't know how else to say it, which is kind of strange, but Bucks is what we do and what we love and what we enjoy covering. And we have all kinds of information from all kinds of angles that we've garnered ourselves in person. Part of that is from years of observation. Part of that is just from talking to players and people and officials and traveling with the team and getting to study the team on a different level. And some of that is just football knowledge. And some of that, you know, it's just it's why you tune into JoeBucksFan.com in many ways, because you do value our opinion and what we think, even if you think you know better, which maybe you do. Or you just like the entertainment value. I don't know. But I'm telling you heartfelt here, and it's not easy for me because it means I got to predict losses for the Bucks, right? Nobody goes out and predicts a 16-0 season. And when you love a team, it's hard to predict any kind of negativity. All right, so I've been dancing around here for a minute and a half. What do I think the Bucks are going to do? Well, first I'm going to say the Buccaneers, I believe in my heart, unfortunately, that they're a somewhat mentally weak football team. I think they've shown that in a lot of different ways over the last handful of years through their core players and this coaching staff. And that's a hard thing to go away, right? That's a tough tide to turn from day one of a new season. How do you stop being mentally weak? How do you stop having breakdowns game to game, week to week, play to play? How do you get tougher? Well, part of that is talent and bringing guys in who are ballers, who are tough, and who can rub off on other people. And that's what Jason Light tried to do. Jason Pierre-Paul, he's that guy. You know, he doesn't care if the Giants were losing or winning Super Bowl year last year. 2 years ago, they were 10-6. He's going out there and grinding and grinding and grinding and playing as much as he can, and he loves the game. Ryan Jensen, he's a rub-off kind of guy. That's why they got him. Not just for his straight physicality. They were looking for him to rub off on these players. Ali Marpet, which sort of stunned me, in this series that the Buccaneers are doing called The Current, which is an awfully weird name, but it's the Buccaneers' in-house version of Hard Knocks. Ali Marpet, I think it's episode 2, I don't know, but he's in there talking about Jensen and really talking about how Jensen was a guy they needed for toughness. And, he's talking that whole line of stuff about Jensen and toughness, and Marpet's emphasizing the need. Well, maybe I'm just a cynical guy, but I got to look at that and say, like, well, Marpet, Donovan Smith, Dotson, why do you feel that you need somebody in there to jack you up? I mean, they all learned sort of the way of the world on the O-line from Logan Mankins and, to a lesser extent, Gostar Cherilis, and not much of a lesser extent, but, you know, those guys were there for them. Why do you need someone new to come in and rub off? You're the veteran. So I think that speaks to some of the mindset there. And the Bucs needed to get tougher on the D-line, and we all know that story. But I think it goes to mental weakness. I think Lavonte David has said, talked about that and exhibited in the past. I don't think there's a bunch of tough guys in this secondary. Brent Grimes is a true professional and a fighter, but he's not rubbing off on anybody else, in my opinion. And our quarterback, Jameis, has been somebody who's been mentally weak, on the field, inconsistent, decision-making. That's all signs of mental weakness. And the mere fact this team went in the toilet last year, but then fought out of it. They've had 2 years of slow starts. There's a lot of things here. But I just think all in all, they're a mentally weaker team than most in the NFL. So for me, the Buccaneers, they've got to start fast this year. I don't think this team can handle going 0-2 from a mental standpoint. I don't think they have it in them to recover and to approach Game 3 properly after being down 0-2. And nobody's going to convince me otherwise of that. Now, that said, I think they do have the talent, and there's enough here where they can go beat the Saints, and they can go beat the Eagles. They can beat one of those teams, or both, but they should be able to win one of those games. And if not, they kind of stink. And you don't want to kind of stink going into Monday Night Football against the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's a bad spot. But I believe in the Bucs, and I believe that they can go win one of those first two games and avoid the perils, their internal perils of faltering confidence and all the crap that 0-2 would bring. I believe they can do that, and they will do that. Now, what happens from there, right? They can't go 1-3. They got to find a way to 2-2 no matter how this season slices out, because if you go 1-3 and then you go to Atlanta the next week, that becomes a must-win game, because if you go 1-4, you might as well just mail it in. And again, it goes to the mental weakness part of this team. You come home for the Browns, whatever. You don't want to be 2-4. You don't want to be 2-4. You got to find your way to 2-2 and then find your way to 3-3. I think if the Bucs do that, if they can find their way to 3-3, then they'll finish 9-7 and have a very good year that everyone will feel happy about and be able to build on it. So I think the ceiling for this team is 9-7. I'd be real surprised if they win 10-6. That's just me being as straight honest with you as I possibly can. I think 9-7 is the ceiling for the team. Now, do I think they're going to go 3-3 and cruise it out? I wouldn't bet. I lean more the other direction. I hate to say it, but I do. I lean more that other way. And I think if they don't start fast, if they go 1-3, then they're going to have a 7-9 season. And if I had to bet, I'd say, yeah, they're going to go 1-3, and then they'll go 7-9. But I do think there's, I'll say, a 75% chance they go 1-3, and then a 25% chance they go 2-2 or 3-3, and then close out the season well. So I'm giving you a multiple prediction here. I'm giving you 9-7 if they can get to 2-2 to start the year. They'll go 9-7. If they go 1-3 to start the year, they'll go 7-9. And I think the season falls right in there. Now, I'm not here to talk about changing jobs and job security and why. I'm just here throwing out a prediction because I'm asked about this all the time. So I'm not going to deny you what I think. That's what I think. Now, I guess the better question is why. Deeper question is, what do I like, what do I don't like within the team right now? There have been some surprises, which is Peyton Barber. I was always a Peyton Barber guy, very anti-Doug Martin, as you folks know, and as readers of Joe Buck's Fan know. But I think he's shown a level of polish and a level of readiness and sort of eye of the tiger that nobody really expected. Did even just talking to him early in camp, he came in 10 pounds lighter, but you know, he was already a big back at 235. He down came in 225, 227, laser focus. And he showed up in the preseason. His numbers on 15 carries are excellent with a couple of touchdowns. So he's done everything they've asked, and there's no reason why they wouldn't be confident in him. So that's a good thing. Now, Ronald Jones, Vita Vea, your top two picks. You know, some people have asked me, you know, why are you down on the Bucs a little bit, or why are you thinking 7-9? Well, right now, we can't expect very much at all from the top two draft picks. And that's not what a 5-11 team, that's not how they're going to advance, by not having impact rookies in the top two picks. Now, then there's the cornerbacks, MJ Stewart and Carlton Davis. I don't think there's any reason to feel badly about them, but MJ Stewart is banged up. He's missed preseason time, and he was not practicing today. Carlton Davis has, you know, blew a coverage in the last game. Dirk Cutter laid that out, that it wasn't Conte's fault. It was Carlton Davis, and that it's the way it goes. He's going to learn. He's going to have those learning moments. I don't think he's wowed anybody to the point that he's has anybody believing that he can step in as the number two corner right away. It's going to be Vernon Hargraves. I'm sure of that. And I just don't think the Bucs are going to get the incredible impact from day one from any of these rookies. And that's one thing that has me leaning toward the 7-9 season. It's not Vita Vea's fault he got hurt. It's not really Ronald Jones' fault that he's not ready to take over the league from week one. But it just seems to how it's evolved. So that's one reason there. As far as the other aspects of this, the injuries are a bit of a problem. Mitch Unrein is out. Vea on the defensive line. Those are guys who were supposed to make an impact, at least as part of this rotation. Noah Spence really has not impressed in the summer, coaches or me, or really most fans who are, I think, if you're really paying attention. So the Buccaneers will be better. I'm easily to say that. They will be better on the defensive line. JPP and Gerald McCoy, you've got two Pro Bowl caliber players there. You should be darn good on your D-line, at least very solid. And we'll see how Bo Allen reacts to more snaps. Vinnie Curry is having some trouble adjusting to the heat, but his effort is extraordinary. But hopefully the Bucs will be able to have some successful rotation with Will Golston, who's playing a little bit better. We'll see. But we're not going to max out on the D-line till later in the year, till these guys get healthy. But it will be better. Defensively, should be okay at linebacker. I think it'll hold up in the secondary for a while. But I don't know. There's still the same kinds of question marks on the defense. Can this better D-line bring us up to 18th in the league on defense instead of 32nd? Can they pull us up to 20th? That should mean some more wins, some better football. I just hope this team mentally gets tougher and better. That's really what this is all about, a mental prediction for me. They got to start games fast, like they did against the Lions the other night. And you start fast, you get a lead, changes the way your defense is able to play, the way your play caller is able to call it, changes the whole confidence level for the other team. They got to fix that, and we're going to find out. You can't go down 17-6 in the Superdome late in the second quarter and play that game. It's got to stop this year. They've got to start getting after it, coming out fast, coming out hard, and setting the table for the way they're going to play this season. That's really what I'm just aching to see in 13 days, which cannot get here soon enough. On the offensive side of the ball, we all know the fix. It's converting in the red zone because the Bucs move the ball up and down the field, and it's consistency overall. The Bucs scored 20.9 points a game last year, 21 points a game. That is not good enough to be successful in the NFL. Now, you could talk about field goal kicking. Hey, one more field goal a game, they're averaging 24 a game. That's top 10. But it's just not that simple. Doesn't work that way. They've got to convert. They got to score touchdowns because the offense is where the talent is on this team. It's where the depth is. I believe in the offensive line. I believed in it last year. I'm not going to be a hypocrite and say start changing my tune here. I believe last year the problem was the running back. So I think Peyton Barber is going to do a lot better. I think Ali Marpet's going to do better at guard. I think Jensen will be an upgrade, and they'll work it out. They'll definitely work it out. Hopefully there won't be some weird rotations and strange stuff going on by Cutter, but it's all there. It's all there for them to succeed. They just have to do it. Now, that's not exactly great analysis, but that's where it stands on the offense, and I think they'll be inconsistent. I think they'll be better overall, but I think it will be inconsistent. But would it surprise me at all if the Bucs turned into a 27-point-a-game team, top five in the league, and started winning some games and got themselves up to 9-7, 10-6, competing for the conversation in late December? No. You just got to execute. And they have the players to execute. We'll see if the coaching matches it. I know the coaches have put a lot on the players. You chose to suck, you this, you that. Well, you know what? These coaches need to do a lot better. Dirk Cutter's got the weapons. There's no excuse. Do better. Play the guys pick the right guys. Make the right calls. I mean, the players have to execute, but there's a lot on the coaching here as well. But the Bucs' first games, those first three games that we've talked about, that every fan has talked about, you are looking at three of the top eight scoring teams in the NFL last year. So you got it. You're going to have to put up points. Philly was third. New Orleans was fourth. Pittsburgh was eighth, all scoring more than 25 points a game. Means the Bucs have to score if they want to get out of this thing alive. So that's a look at some of my feelings of the prediction of the season and what they have to do. It's so early. Everybody's got to put a prediction out, but I get asked all the time, so I'm laying it out there. Luck is a big part of football. If you don't think it is, you're not paying attention. They got to get a little lucky here. That would be nice. They got to get that early start. And if they get that good start, I think they'll roll to a good season. But anything outside of a solid start, getting out to 2-2 with a tough schedule, if they can't do that, I don't think they'll overcome it fast enough. And then you've got the issue with Jameis being rusty and how that translates. He's only human. For him to walk in like that, the way he is wired to press and to, try to do too much, it's a bad combination. Hopefully they can, we've said it before, start well and have a more relaxed situation for him coming back, which I think will be a factor. You don't want Jameis out there 0-3 trying to rally everybody up and go crazy, and you want him to be able to walk into a very good, smooth-running operation, which I think if they can do that, they'll be a very successful football team early. All right, the locker room today, we got to go around the locker room today, which the scene changes during the regular season. In training camp, you don't go into the locker room. You're able to talk to players coming off the field, and during the regular season, you generally talk to them, not always, but generally talk to them before practice. So it's a different vibe, different situation. You can look around and see whose injuries may be getting better, maybe are worse than you thought or whatnot. But the locker room today, I wrote this for Joe Bucks Fan, and it's just an interesting little nugget. You know, Vinny Curry's sitting at his locker, and there he's got one of these big, you know, box fans, these big square fans you can get in Walmart for, I don't know, $18.99. And it's plugged in, and he's sitting right in front of this thing. It's blowing all over him. It's fan is on high speed. He's eating, and he's sitting there in a chair just chilling out. And I've never seen, I even asked Ira Kaufman, hey, have you ever seen a player bring in his own fan in the new facility and plug it in and stick it in there? I mean, the air conditioning is down pretty low in there. I get hot a lot. I've never been hot in the locker room. This is in One Buck Palace. It's comfortable. You know, if guys were too hot, they would complain. Nobody else has got a fan going. Vinny Curry, I asked him, I said, is this tied to you adjusting to the Tampa Heat? And he pretty much said, yeah, you're damn right. I'll never get used to it. And he and I had had a discussion about this in April. Maybe it was about whatever, April, May, it doesn't matter. And it's really in his head on adapting to the Heat. You know, take that for what it's worth. Who knows? But some guys adapt better. Some guys need a year. Vinny Curry needs to be ready to play afternoon football in September against his beloved Eagles. And, you know, then he's got Monday Night Football. Those are the first two home games. So I am a little concerned about him, just mainly because it's in his head and he's 30 years old. So it's just something to note. I mean, you know, he's just hot everywhere and can't escape it. We all understand the feeling, but we all don't have to work outside in pads and a helmet and in the sun with gorillas bearing down on you, ready to rip your head off. Man beasts on the offensive lines across the NFL. So something there. I don't know what it's worth, but on the upside, Bo Allen seems to have adapted very well, and he spent the summer here working on adapting to the weather. I don't think it's in his head. I think he's ready to go. I think he's eager to start. He'll never say it, that he's pleased that he'll get his shot in front of Vita Vea, who's injured. But Allen was a rotational guy, a 50%, 48% of the snaps guy in Philadelphia. And here he is with his shot to start on a good defensive line where he can make some plays. And no one's going to double-team Bo Allen with Gerald McCoy out there. I say that, you know, tongue-in-cheek a little bit. I mean, he may get a couple, but it's an opportunity for Allen. I think he's going to be good in his adjustment. I just don't know how good of a player he is. You know, we all like to sit around and say, hey, well, you know, if he was any good, his team wouldn't let him go. Well, you know, we've got free agents this year. We don't say that about Curry and Allen, but, you know, you have to see how they actually perform. In the locker room, you know, we had a little fun today with Donovan Smith. Is he better? He's in good spirits for whatever that means, and he's a guy who can be pretty moody. Anybody in that locker room knows he can be a little bit moody. He seemed in very good spirits. He was walking around without a brace, no limp. Doesn't mean he can play football, but I can say this, that any guy who goes through 3 years on the offensive line without missing a game is tough, and he's played through some stuff, and I think he is very, very eager to play, and I don't think he's somebody who wants to let that streak break, his 48 consecutive games. He likes being the Iron Man. He takes great pride in it, and if he can play, I think he'll be out there. I think he's the kind of guy who will tough through it, but whether he will be cleared or ready is a whole different story. Now, I asked Mike Littke, and this, I think, is important for Bucks fans, because do you trust the player evaluation skills of the front office and the coaching staff, or both? And there are two different animals there, right? The front office gets the guys, and then it's up to the coaching staff to determine who's better. Jason Light is not telling them who to start or who to play or who to put on the second team versus the third team. And there's Mike Littke. We all saw him at left tackle, starting, playing most of the game against Detroit Lions' top defense and Ziggy Ansah for a while. We all see this guy who's sort of a nobody out of Illinois State, and he plays good football at left tackle. Go back and watch the game. He looks like a football player, and he hung just fine. Excellent work. Well, Dirk Cutter said something this past week that Lidke was like the eighth tackle on their depth chart. You know, fourth teamer kind of thing, just off nobody they were paying attention to. Now, meanwhile, this is a guy who's been with the organization on and off since 2016. So they had a chance to watch him and evaluate him. He's been in camps. He was on the active roster last year. So it makes you wonder that they thought this guy was a nobody, a camp meet dude at the bottom of the roster when it comes to tackles, yet he goes out there and plays great. Is that just luck? Is that just, and I say it not for Litke's sake, but is that just bad luck by the organization, or did they misread Litke, or did he just need a chance? I don't know, but to me, it's a little suspect when a guy you sort of think has no chance and is just at the end of your training camp roster, and he goes out there and does extremely well in a tough spot at a tough position. And the Bucs have made a lot of weird decisions on the offensive line over the years under the Jason Light regime, and some good decisions, some odd decisions. I don't know how some of these guys who've left are going to pan out. You know, you got Patrick Omame starting with the Giants after starting for the Jaguars last year. He got a free agent deal. You've got other guys around the league. We don't know what we're going to see from Pamphile this year in Tennessee. And the whole evaluation of J.R. Sweezy to bring him back last year after a back injury and then continue to play him in a lost season when you could have gotten more snaps for Caleb Benenach. There have been some, and then you've got the whole musical chairs of Ali Marpet and the rotation of Evan Smith and Pamphile, and a lot of the decisions are really sort of different by the Bucs, and I'm starting to wonder what the evaluation is of the players by the coaching staff. I lost a little bit of confidence in Dirk Cutter with the whole Doug Martin thing because we talked about it endlessly. From day one, I think it was obvious that Martin wasn't the guy, yet the Bucs were convinced he was. I still don't get that, but there have been some weird decisions on the O-line, and you've got to wonder now also, how is Dirk Cutter going to manage these receivers? Will he be able to find the perfect blend to maximize the offense? And it's a big challenge, whether anybody, you know, Cutter will fluff it off as, oh, what a great problem to have. And oh, you know, hey, we just, the defense dictates where we throw the ball, so it's no big deal. But it's not that simple. You got to pick the right guys for the right spots. And these receivers are largely interchangeable. They're trained that way. And Mike Evans likes the slot. He can play outside. DeSean Jackson can play the slot. Knows all the positions, can play either side. Same thing for Godwin's been trained that way. Humphreys is probably more of just a slot guy, but Dirk Cutter's got to pick the right combinations, and I'm a little bit skeptical on the course of a whole season how good he is at evaluating the guys actually on his roster, and it's something to watch. But I still think the O-line will be just fine. It's just a question of can it be great, and can it do enough like it's done in past years, like 2015 or 2010, when they really could block sufficiently for a big-time rusher like we had with Doug Martin a couple years ago. And then, of course, back in 2010 when LeGarrette Blount got 1,000 yards on, 12 or 13 games, something like that. I don't know. There's a lot to watch for. Litke's a real good dude. I asked him point blank, hey, can one game like you had the other night on national television literally change your confidence and just alter the state of your whole career? And he pretty much said, yeah, absolutely. So he's a tough guy to root against and an easy guy to root for. I'm assuming that they'll keep him because he showed he can play at left tackle. And Damar Dotson is the last guy who wants to play left tackle and who, you know, they tried that in 2014. It didn't work out. And if Dotson could have played there comfortably, he would have, because they make a lot more money than they do at right tackle. So he would have liked that. And I know firsthand Dotson loves to get paid. Now, as a Bucs fan, when you sit here right now, and I will close up the podcast going in this direction. As a Bucs fan, you sit here and you have endless hope again. Hope that they're going to knock off this no playoffs since 2007 streak. And we're just all aching. I know I am aching for some hope that still exists by October. I mean, another season of just getting kicked in the groin with draft talk by the week five bye week would just be the worst thing for this franchise. And I am so rooting for, you know, if you're going to lose games, if you're going to go 7-9, if that's your fate, if you're going to go 8-8, man, you can go 8-8 and open up 5-3. You can do that for the fans. And it doesn't always make it better, but, you know, it makes it a little bit easier. And I just hope they get off to a good start. It's just, it's important on a lot of levels. You know, at JoeBucksFan.com, of course, the business side of us, we always root for fans to stay engaged and be engaged. And nothing better than that, than a good start. But just as a fan myself, you really want to see that, because it's not a coincidence that this team has been brutal at home. They've been starting slow under multiple coaches. It's time. It's time for this team to play physical football every game. Have fans say, you know what, they lost today, but they were the toughest team out there. And hopefully say they won today and they were the toughest team out there. Dirk Koetter, if you noticed, very happy guy in the news conferences following the Lions game. Very happy, smiley, laughing. We haven't seen that in a while, and I don't think he was necessarily celebrating the Lions' loss, the late collapse, or anything like that. But, man, you could see the relief on his face because they played, they were the better team physically, and it wasn't a fluke. And just the relief, because he knows, like we all do, you need to see it. You can't just talk about it. You can't just pretend you're tougher and all this other stuff. You got to see it. So we saw some of it. Feel good about what's coming down the line here. We got a preseason game on Thursday. Is there anything I'm looking for in that game? I don't take these games that seriously, but I'd like to see Noah Spence dominate, and I'd like to see the backup O-linemen, the Litke types and others, I'd like to see them perform well. And it'll be very interesting who isn't playing, because if Dirk Koetter is going to rest all of his starters, well, we might get a good clue as to who's starting come Thursday night against the Jaguars. Because if Litke doesn't play, as an example, is that a tip-off that Donovan Smith won't be ready week one and Litke's going to be the starting left tackle? Or let's say Benenach, who swears he's healthy, was back at practice today. He's got a left knee issue. If he doesn't play Thursday, does that mean he's pegged at right guard? So there's a lot to look for in who doesn't play, and certain guys will just assume aren't injured that they are, going to be the new starting lineup. But what else do I want to tell you guys? Well, first, of course, please remember our sponsors, Bill Curry Ford. Remember, I just mentioned Joe Bucks Fan. Pick out a car online at their website, and you'll get $500 off. Talk to General Manager Sean Sullivan at Bill Curry Ford and Discount Garage Doors, dgdoors.com. Call them 24/7, 866-420-DOORS. Same day free service call. I hope you're enjoying the podcast. I'm glad to be back. Caught myself rambling here at the end, but that's all right. Happy to be here. Happy to do it. Please support all of our podcasts at joebucksfan.com. And lastly, I'll leave you with this. The Bucks, you're not going to get any kind of read on them, any kind of anything, until they get out there on opening day behind Ryan Fitzpatrick. And the one thing I would feel comfortable with is that Fitzpatrick, the moment won't be too big for him on opening day. I think he did a great job settling the team last year. And I don't think any of these Bucks are going to go into anything related to opening day believing any press clippings or headlines or anything. They're just going to play football. Now, they might fall apart after that. Once, if they win by 20 points, they might start doing what they always seem to do, which is, you know, believe all the hype in week two and have a big letdown. But the team has won two consecutive opening days under Dirk Koetter, and that's not a coincidence. For whatever reason, Koetter seems to know how to have these guys ready on opening day. The challenge for this team is going to be week two. And what might happen if they lose opening day and they are ready to play, it's all about mental strength with this team as I see it. So anything, any nugget you can find that represents mental strength of this Bucks team, let me know so I can sleep better at night. Those are the frogs croaking behind me if you're catching them. But I appreciate it. Monday Morning Joe is the podcast. Leave a review on iTunes, Podbean, wherever. I will see you next week.